You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
As of yesterday, New Zealand Immigration have implemented stricter health screening requirements for the dependent children of temporary visa holders. Under the new regulations, migrant children with significant cognitive or developmental disabilities requiring substantial support will no longer be eligible for student or visitor visas. In that same week, volunteer firefighters across the Motu launched a petition calling for legislative change that would give volunteer firefighters the same ACC coverage and benefits as their paid counterparts. And ACT Party leader David Seymour announced that he wants local councillor candidates to be able to run under the party's banner in the upcoming October elections. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March for the Green Party's take on all of these issues. What was your reaction to the visa changes for disabled children announced by New Zealand Immigration?
Look, it's really clear that the government has no regards to the human rights of disabled people. We talk big game internationally about our commitments to the human rights of disabled people, and yet domestically, we just keep putting in place policies that will lead to, for example, autistic children facing deportation or being barred from entering the country because of something like an autism diagnosis.
As an immigration spokesperson and advocate for migrants yourself, do you know how many families may be affected by these policy changes?
Look, well, the government hasn't been upfront with public about how perceived of a supposed problem this is. I work with countless of families who are in this situation, but it's still a small number. And I think this goes to the heart of the issue, which is that the government has actively stripped resources from disability support services, has not adequately funded supportive mechanisms in our education to ensure that disabled kids have everything they need to thrive, and is now putting the blame on migrants, particularly disabled children now, instead of actually resourcing disability support systems.
Are disabled migrant children causing any kind of strain on our education or health system, as Erica Stanford and Immigration have suggested?
I think it's really dangerous when we talk about disabled people as, quote, putting a strain, because what we do is we ignore that actually we also have a commitment to uphold the rights of disabled people and not just see disabled people as a sort of burden or cost. At the end of the day, if the minister is so concerned about the need to improve the support services for disabled people, she could be investing in that area rather than putting the blame on migrants.
And how would a Greens-led government address disabled migrants in their immigration policy?
Well, we would simply do what we've already signed up to as a country, which is to honour the International Conventions on the Rights of Disabled People and get rid of the policy that discriminates on the basis of disability, because it sends a message also to disabled people domestically that they're not seen as a cost or a burden.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Volunteer firefighters across the Motu are backing a petition calling for legislation change that would give volunteer firefighters the same ACC coverage and benefits as their paid counterparts. Currently, there are 12,000 volunteer firefighters in Aotearoa who are excluded from certain ACC benefits due to being classified as non-employees. So my next question is, does the Green Party back the volunteer firefighters calling for ACC coverage?
We absolutely stand in solidarity with firefighters who are just seeking to have decent working conditions. And this includes those that are there in a volunteer capacity, because it needs to be recognized that our firefighters are actually often the first line of response to emergencies. And in many cases, they're putting their livelihoods and their health at risk when they participate in these activities. So having them able to access ACC is really important, so that in case they, for example, have an injury while they're performing these duties, that they can then get the support that they need.
How does Aotearoa fare when it comes to compensation and safety for our firefighters, whether they're paid or volunteers?
Well, not great, and this is what we have seen in past years. Firefighters actually having to take up the fight, to parliament around their working conditions and resources. We already hear how many firefighters across the country are having to use extremely old equipment that is either not functioning really well or is literally putting themselves and their safety at risk. And we've got to remember, right, that like a lot of the work that firefighters do exposes them to hazardous environments, which can then lead to a greater increase in conditions such as like cancer, asthma, cardiovascular diseases, and other sort of health conditions. This is a frontline risky job, and this is where we need to support them.
The ACC officially designates volunteer firefighting as a leisure activity. What's your opinion on that?
Well, this just shows that the definition's out of date, and it doesn't actually account for the work that our volunteers firefighters do. It's not a leisurely activity. Without them, we wouldn't be as equipped to be at the front lines of, for example, natural issues such as like fires, or for example, even when we have an injury or death. Like often firefighters are the first ones to actually get on the scene. So this is why I think we need to actually not treat them as they're doing leisurely activities, but as people who are doing critical and essential frontline work.
And are there any other occupational diseases or injuries that you think there should be more coverage for?
And when it comes to ACC, there are many other gaps in our system. And so, for example, issues around mental health. There's also stuff around, the impacts on long COVID or other types of conditions that are currently not adequately covered. And that is a conversation we need to have about how we can modernize ACC so that it is an agency of comprehensive care, and rather than sort of people having to jump through the hoops to justify their need of support.
All right, moving on to the last topic. ACT Party leader David Seymour announced that he wants local councillor candidates to be able to run under the party's banner in the upcoming October elections. This will be the first time local government candidates have run under the party's banner and part of what Seymour has referred to as a clean out of local councils. So my next question is, what's your opinion on David Seymour's announcement?
I mean, to be honest, I think we've always had people in the far right and the sort of Cooker fringes stand for local body elections. This would just give them the ACT Party label on top of this. But actually, I think it's good that candidates are willing to show their political party affiliations in local government, because this has been a taboo. And what it has meant is that the public has very little information about people's party affiliation. The Green Party has ran candidates under the Green Party banner for quite some time now, and we're really pleased to have seen gains at a local government level. And so, the ACT Party will do what the ACT Party does, but I think it'll be good in terms of members of the public having that level of transparency around which party candidates are affiliated to.
Do you think that ACT has a good chance of getting new party members elected to local councils?
I mean, I don't really care, to be honest. We've got a job to do in the Greens and in the Left to make sure that we have local government representatives that actually want to invest in the critical infrastructure that we need, that we have local government reps that build good quality, high-density housing that is able to house our communities. And this is why we've got to stand against people from the ACT Party who are actually wanting to strip councils from the ability to deliver on these key services, and will quite happily leave it to the private market to deliver.
Right, so based off of that, will the Greens be challenging this move by ACT to get more of their party members in local councils?
We already have had a process to endorse and or have people run as Green Party candidates. That will continue. We've been doing this way before the ACT Party decided to announce it will be running ACT Party candidates on local government elections. So in some ways, they're playing catch-up to something we have been doing for quite some time.
And lastly, do you think there are any potential impacts by having more ACT members in local governments and councils?
Well, I think the public should be able to scrutinize what the ACT Party stands for when it comes to local government politics. If it's anything like what they do in central government, what I think we should be worried about is having local government representatives that are quite willing to sell off and privatize public assets that should remain in the hands of the public. And this includes, for example, some of the infrastructure that we need, including services that allow people to have access to, for example, sports and recreation activities.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.